So here we are, Palm Sunday, and I miss your smiling faces. Bob and Jarek and I, the three amigos, are here in the sanctuary again with proper social distancing, of course. But today is such a special day, and the truth that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords does not change, no matter what is going on around us. And this is a day where we take our stand on that. Let's begin with the story of the first Palm Sunday from John 12, verses 12 through 19. Please have your Bibles open in front of you, whether electronic or old school. Are you ready? If you're not quite ready, well, let's do this. Let's pray. Lord, bless us as we look into your word. Through your Spirit, move it to our hearts and minds. Speak to us as you alone can, so that we know that we know that we know that we've heard from you. Bless this time, we pray, to every listener, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm reading from John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19 in the NIV. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed the sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." All of this happened not long after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, as we saw from the text, and it caused an incredible stir. The crowd that had been there that day kept telling others about it, and because there were masses of people who had come into Jerusalem for the religious festival, the Passover festival, from all over Israel and from many nations, the word spread rapidly. No one had ever done the things this man had done. And I'd like to encourage you to pause for a moment and ponder that as Jarek plays. There's never been anyone like Jesus. Oh, where would we be without our Savior? Let's praise God for his Son and say our hosannas from the heart as we pray and thank him for all that he is. Let's praise him separately but together from the heart, shall we? Let's do that now. As we jump into this passage, it's important to point out that not everyone who saw Lazarus raised from the dead believed that Jesus was God's chosen one. John 11:37 tells us, "But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?'" While that was right before it happened, it's safe to say that not everyone was a fan. They may have been impressed and intrigued by that miracle, but that doesn't mean they believed he was God's chosen one yet. And this really gets interesting when you realize that Jesus did not want to do miracles just so that people would believe in him. John 4:48 tells us about another occasion when Jesus said critically, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe." Jesus wasn't about wowing people. It wasn't his style. He wanted to draw them into a relationship with God. So there were those in the crowd who believed deeply, and there were some who were interested and wanted to know more, but there were also some, like the religious authorities observing the shouts of the crowd, who were standing back, probably with their arms crossed and saying, "See, the whole world has gone after him." And they didn't believe at all. And that brings us to this thought. If you were in the crowd that day, where would you be standing? Would you be right there in the front row? Or would you be a few feet back, interested, intrigued, but still observing? Or would you be standing at a distance, maybe even a little critical? Where in the crowd would you be? Let me explain that question this way. Did you know that Mr. Rogers was a Presbyterian minister? That's right. Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood was commissioned by the Pittsburgh Presbytery and as an evangelist, and he took his work very seriously. He wanted to show children unconditional love, the love that he had received from God through Jesus. And he wanted children to know that they were important in a world that sometimes pushed them away or pushed them to the side. He was absolutely passionate about it. But after his long career telling children that they mattered so much, when he lay on his deathbed with stomach cancer, he asked his wife of 51 years, Joanne, this question: "Am I a sheep? Am I a sheep?" What did he mean by that? Well, Joanne explained later that he was referring to the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25 when Jesus returns and will put the sheep, those who loved him and followed him, on his right, and the goats, those who rejected him and went their own way, on his left. So now we're getting down to it. Not everyone in the crowd who was shouting Hosanna that day was doing it because they were sincerely followers of Jesus. Well, the believers certainly were, but there were also those who just wanted what Jesus could do for them. But there's the challenge, isn't it? Aren't we all that way to a certain extent? For example, when something bad happens, like we're going through right now, aren't we sometimes quick to ask, "How could God allow this?" Another way to put that might be, well, a little more direct, and that is, how could God let this happen when my life was going along just fine? Thank you. And yet, we know that if we're followers of Jesus, it's not supposed to be my life. I'm not in first place. He told us we are to take up our cross and follow him. And that means that our lives would not always be easy. He also said in Matthew 16:25, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." So Jesus is after something else. Now remember that some of the same people who were shouting Hosanna in the crowd that Palm Sunday, less than a week later, would be shouting, "Crucify him." And when I think of that, I have to stop myself and ask this question. Do I just want Jesus for what he can do for me because I want something from him? Or do I follow him because I genuinely love him and I believe in him and I'm so drawn to him, I can't help myself? Or as Fred Rogers put it, am I a sheep? Am I a sheep? Let's pause again for a moment and ponder that, ask ourselves that question. Maybe this would be a time to confess the struggle that we have following him, sometimes just wanting what he can do for us instead of what we can do for him. Let's ask the Lord to help us truly, sincerely, passionately follow him, no matter what. So the crowd wanted a king who would throw off Rome, and when Jesus entered Jerusalem through that particular entrance, he did the same thing Solomon had done years before when he was crowned king, riding in on his father David's mule. And notice that in some texts, the people are actually calling Jesus the Son of David. In other parts of the New Testament, you see that. Here they're calling him the King of Israel. So the crowd wanted a king that would throw off Roman rule, even by force if necessary. Not even Jesus' true followers understood all that was really happening. They also wanted what Jesus could do for them. Peter seemed to expect this kind of Messiah. He showed that when he picked up a sword a few days later in the Garden of Gethsemane. But Jesus is doing something different. He is about so much more than just a kingdom on earth that will rise and one day pass away. Remember the question Jesus asked Peter when he forgave Peter for denying him? He said, "Do you love me?" Everything comes down to love. Jesus even loved those who put him to death, loved them to the very last because he was dying to save them. His love cannot be contained by this world. It is so much greater, so much deeper. It's this perfect love that he offers us through his sinless life and his death for us on the cross. That's why we need more than anything else to follow him when days are difficult, because we can only get that kind of love from him, love that is a gift from him if we ask him, love for all that he is, love to follow him wholeheartedly and serve him and love others and serve them with a love that we do not have in our own strength. Oh, we have to keep our eyes on him. We have to love him for who he is, to live in love with him. I had a great reminder of that this last week. As many of you know, Tim and Heather live across the street from us. And one night last week, I was watching the evening briefing on the coronavirus when their son Zuri knocked on our door. "I made something for you," he told me. And he held out his hand and he handed me a bracelet he had put together. It was a little black piece of leather with some knots in it, and between the knots were a number of little colored blocks strung across it, spelling these words, and he said, they're from 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. What a great reminder. Our circumstances change continually, but trusting Jesus, who gave himself completely for us and loving him with the love he gives, if we ask for it, if we receive him, oh, that will last. Think of all of the things he brought you through in the past. Ponder that, because it will help you understand that he will get us through this. Did you know that there are two meanings to the word Hosanna? One is simply a cry of praise to God, but the literal meaning of the term in the Aramaic is, Lord, please save. It's a plea. Lord, please save. And that was later changed to an expression that basically said, oh, salvation. Thank you. There is the real reason Jesus came, to save us from sins and the sadness of a life just lived for self, a life that crumbles inward and ends in despair. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing that day when he entered Jerusalem. He had set his face toward Jerusalem, and he was going to die. But in his death is the greatest victory imaginable, because he would conquer death and he would conquer sin. And 3 days later, he would rise from the grave. And oh, if we cry out to him, Lord, please save, he will. He'll save us from our sins with this transforming love, and he'll bless us with himself so that we know that he is in our lives, and so that we can say, salvation, thank you. As we wrap up our time together, I'd like to ask you to think about that. If you've never said Hosanna from the heart, that is, ask Jesus to save you, why wait? I'd like to pray a simple prayer as we finish so that you can do that now. But if you've already received him and you want to tell him, thank you for saving me, tell him that you love him and that you trust him. We'll pray about that now, too. Oh, there is no one like him, our Savior, our King. Hosanna. Let's go to him now and love him. And as we conclude, I'm going to pray, and then Jarek will play. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we believe. And you know those places where we struggle and we want to make it all about us, but Lord, oh, we want it to be more about you. And so we ask your help with that. We ask, Lord, that you would pour your love into our hearts and help us just follow you and stay close to you. For those of us who have never received you, who haven't placed their faith in what you did for us on the cross, Lord, we come to you right now with this prayer. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Please help me to live for you. Please send your Holy Spirit into my heart and life so that I become a new person in you. Help me to know your transforming power and to make a new beginning with you from this day forward. Thank you that the past can be entirely done for me, that I can leave it behind and I can look forward to you and a future in your love forever. So yes, I believe you died on the cross to save me from my sin, and I receive that and I receive you. Help me to follow you from now on. And for those who have already received you, Lord, help us to keep going. Help us to persevere in our faith, and thank you for your promise that he who began a good work in us will carry it through to completion. We trust that word. We trust you. And we love you. And we pray as well, oh Lord, pour your love into my heart all the more. Because I know you, and I know you are love, and I worship you. Oh, thank you that I will live in your love forever, my beautiful Savior. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Salvation. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.